Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Rescue teams are continuing to battle against the clock to reach the submersible Titan, which went missing on Sunday on a voyage to explore the wreckage of the Titanic. It's feared the emergency supply of oxygen on board the vessel could be close to running out. According to Chinese authorities, a cooking gas explosion at a barbecue restaurant in northwestern China has killed 31 people and injured 7. It happened on a busy street in Yinchuan as people were gathering on the eve of the Dragon Boat Festival holiday. A YouGov survey has found that nearly half of mortgage holders have found it difficult to keep up with bills and credit commitments over the last few months. It's been released as the Bank of England is expected to raise the base rate today for the 13th time in a row, which would affect people on tracker mortgages. And today marks exactly 75 years since the Empire Windrush ship docked near London. It carried around 800 migrants from Jamaica. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Sophia Lewis-Hobbs.
Carl, what are you doing?
What's that, Sergei?
What are you doing?
Just mowing the lawn. I've already got rid of those hideous weeds.
Oh, they're not weeds. They're flowers.
I can't hear you, bro, but watch out. I'm just getting the rest of them.
My delphiniums. My rhododendrons.
See you later, weeds.
My award-winning hydrangeas.
Don't wombat it. Meerkat it.
Simples.
Colorful.
Celebrating Windrush Day.
Colorful Radio. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Colorful.
Celebrating colorful Windrush Day.
Colorful Radio. Colorful.
Delia
Delore. Colorful Radio.
Celebrating Windrush Day.
Colourful Radio.
Hello, I'm Delia Delore and welcome to this Windrush special. After World War II in 1945, Britain needed rebuilding and there was a shortage of labour, so it invited immigration from Commonwealth countries. For Caribbean people, this news filled them with hope. It was a way to help their families. So when the Empire Windrush docked at Tilbury on June 22nd, 1948... That was 75 years ago. Yes, 75 years ago, a new life began for many Caribbean and British people. Sometimes we forget about that because we hear so many stories of doom and gloom, but it was a change for everyone. Today's show features snippets of short stories, real ones, emotional ones, stories of those left behind, and the people who made the same journey after the Windrush. They talk about how it affected them. These people also felt the frustrations and joys of living in a new country and the satisfaction of being able to send money back home. I was having a conversation with my son recently, and I must admit I was taken back when he told me that he wasn't as familiar with the Windrush generation as I thought he would have been. And we had a wonderful conversation about the importance and why we should celebrate, and I hope that you will by staying with me today. Here's some music to entice you.
is the place for me. London, this lovely city. You can go to France or America, India, Asia or Australia, but you must come back to London City. Well, believe me, I am speaking broad-mindedly. I am glad to know my mother country. I've been traveling to countries years ago, but this the place I wanted to know. London, that's the place for me. To live in London, you are really comfortable, because their English people are very much sociable. They take you here and they take you there, and they make you feel like a millionaire. So London, that's the place for me. At night, when you have nothing to do, you can take a walk down Shaftesbury Avenue. There you will laugh and talk and enjoy the breeze and admire the beautiful scenery of London. That's the place for me. Yes, I cannot
picture this. I'm sat on a veranda in St. Lucia. It's hot, and I'm talking to a friend's mom with my aunt, who is visiting from the UK. They just met, but their experiences of being part of the Windrush generation bonded them. You may hear the wonderful Caribbean ambience and dogs barking in the background as Mrs. Audrey, Andrew, and Mrs. Stephanie Gideon and I talk.
The boats, my trip was 18 days.
18 days.
But because 18. At the time we boarded the British Airways from, not as it is now, as a, just like a matchstick, a little square thing. So we board the plane from there and we went to Barbados first. Mm-hmm. And we stayed in Barbados for 2 weeks. They said it was one, but I mean they were collecting the people from different areas because they were not enough for one trip. So we bought it there, and then from Barbados we went to Trinidad and Tobago. From there we went to Venezuela. From there we went to I'm not quite sure if it is Curacao, but we went to Curacao as well, and St. Kitts. From there, Jamaica as well, we went there. We went all around. And from there, the boat took the cross to go to through the Atlantic. And then from there, we got to know where we were heading to, because you're leaving the Caribbean Sea and you're crossing the Caribbean Sea to go to with the Atlantic to get yourself in the United Kingdom. You know, the boat took 18 days at sea, and we did not know what to do. We were already on the boat,
and the boat took longer. I left there in 1959, and on the Venezuela.
Oh, Venezuela, yes.
And the boat went to Jamaica. Then it went to Venezuela.
Yes.
From Venezuela, it went back to Jamaica.
Yeah.
Again, and then it went to travel to Goa.
Oh, yes, I didn't go for that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From Goa, we took the train.
Yes.
To Victoria.
Yes, but did you cross the channel, the French?
Well, I don't. At that time, I don't think I would know whether I'm on the channel or not. But I was on the boat,
yes.
And that boat Venezuela traveled from Saint Lucia straight to Jamaica.
Yes.
Then it went to Venezuela because we off boat the boat there.
Yes.
When we got back, they said they have to go back to Jamaica. So from there, they sailed all the way to Genoa.
Yeah, Genoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there, we got on the train and got to Victoria.
Mrs. Andrew brought out all her passports over the years to show us. She must have had at least more than 10 of them. They were all wonderfully preserved. One of them caught my eye. It reminded me of the first time I had seen my passport, and my picture was in it with my dad's, I think. But the firm squareness of the passport brought me back to childhood. Our family gatherings on Sundays and not being able to go into the front room without my parents. The food, the music, the stories about the Caribbean, the laughter. Gosh, it really brought all those things back. But many people from the Empire Windrush and subsequent journeys made many friends and had many stories to tell. Mrs. Andrew shared a very personal one.
What did you do to entertain yourself in the trip?
Oh, I did not entertain myself on the trip because I was already having a baby in my stomach and I did not even know that.
Oh.
So when we got on the traveling back, we started traveling towards the trip, I said to myself, but I cannot take the smell of the fish or I cannot eat anything. What is going on? Not knowing that I was like that. So when I could not and I was just on apples and I think it's Coca-Cola. I sat in the cabin mostly all the time. When I could not take, I said, no, I have to go to the doctor. Because, I mean, we all had our thing, you know, immunization and thing. But I said, this one is a little bit thing because, I mean, I've had children before, but what kind of thing is that? So I went and the doctor did not tell me I was, but gave me maybe a C thing, you know, for seasick. And I went back to the coffin, to the cabin.
The
only money I had in a wallet was £5. By the time I go to the cabin and come back, go to the doctor and come back to the cabin, it disappeared. So I did not have any money at all. And when I never left that cabin until the boat reaches straight to England.
Yo. Catastrophic years, stuck in a backward gear. And I need a little ounce of life, yeah. Scaremongers, I'm from among us to families from left to right. I got a finger here next to my index bearing. I use it just to speak me my yo. Just Windrush, baby. No time for complaint. So meet me on the streets at night. What do you need? I like my cigarette with a bit of weed. Heavenly. I need a dance, I need a cheat, have a laugh and persevere. Just meet me on the streets at night.
I'm just a Windrush baby, we're little bits of crazy, but I just have a good time. Whatever you need facilitating, whatever your stimulation, no need to think twice or why. I'm just a Windrush baby, we're little bits of crazy, but I just have a good time.
Mommy came over from the Caribbean. What a beam. Winning adversity, face of adversity. I hit the shebeen just to ease the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now the love is gone from the street.
Kenny or she used to sleep to the Windrush, baby. It's time we reclaimed it. So meet me in the streets at night.
There's nothing fundamental because of our identity. Our Jamaican young people, then their identity was the music. And that link, our linkage to
Britain from Jamaica was not easy for me. As far as I was concerned, British blacks were lost souls. So what kept me going and what is really important is the values taught to me by my grandmother. But I hope one day you will get those values, because you haven't got them yet. Some of the things you do still show to me that you haven't got those values that my grandmother passed on. And that is what is happening to the black community. We have let go of the very strong values that we used to have.
The Empire Windrush was built in Germany and launched in Hamburg on the 13th of December 1930, but its original name was the MV Mount Rosa. In May 1948, the Empire Windrush docked in Kingston, Jamaica, and arrived in the port of Tilbury, England, on the 22nd of June. It had taken 492 Caribbean migrants across the Atlantic Ocean to the UK, promising prosperity and employment. But as you probably know, it took a while before this was achieved, especially for women. Housing was a big deal in Prime Minister Harold Wilson's 1964 and 1966 administrations. The 1964 manifesto was replete with housing proposals.
But on the other thing is, I think how we got better, it was when the Labour Party came in, and then, what was his name again? No? He was very popular and he won.
Kinnock?
Oh?
Kinnock?
Mm-mm.
Before Kinnock?
Mm-mm. Oh, long before.
Yeah.
What was his name again? He used to have a pipe.
Wilson. Churchill.
No,
Wilson.
Harold
Wilson. Yeah.
He opened the gate when he came, and he had a white document that says that they have to accept us and give us what we need, because where we've traveled from and who we are. He was the one who did that, and when they wanted to stop people from coming from the Caribbean. He said, no, as long as they're able to work. That was on the white letter.
I was renting. Mm. My husband never wanted to buy a place in London because everybody's got their different views. But as a woman, I went to the bank, and they would not allow me to. They would give me a loan.
No.
Because they said I will not be able to pay because I could get pregnant.
Yes.
And so I could never, ever succeeded in buying a home in London. Because I want to say the right thing. If they're not allowing you as a woman to buy a property, well, your husband, I know what I wanted to say now. Then women start protesting about it.
Yes.
In the 70s.
Yes.
And then in 1977, 78. They allow women then to purchase a house.
Yes. Because you see, the thing is, it was just like before, your husband has to be the head of the and whatever the husband says, that's what you had to go by. But the women got their freedom afterwards, according to law, to buy their own property separately. So they can buy their own property separately with their name.
But I don't even think it's the husband, because if you, as a woman, want to buy a house, your husband should not be included, because
but he's you,
Yeah, I know, but you know the bank. The people are stopping you. The bank is stopping you from buying.
No, you're going to blame them because the thing is...
No, but they won't give you a loan.
No, but they cannot give it to you because the husband is the head of the...
It is true. It is true the husband is the head. I agree with what she's saying.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you prove to the bankers that you can afford to pay your way, they should allow you to buy a house.
They should, but they didn't.
The experiences of going to England have not stopped you from wanting to return to St. Lucia.
No.
Now that you're home in St. Lucia, how would you describe
the difference between the two?
Yes.
Well, I cannot... What can I say? St. Lucia is our home, and we always thought of St. Lucia. See, all the time we went in England, we never stopped mentioning. And I don't think a lot of people who went, you know, to England stopped feeling the home back then. But you must understand that the way we left St. Lucia, it's not the same. And this is the mistake that we made. Because in England, everything is, you know, up to standard. Rules, regulations, it's not who you know, who you don't know. Everybody is in the same bracket. That is the rule in the United Kingdom. But in St. Lucia, you have who you know and who knows who you know. So you see that brings a breakdown there between that, because you come, you expected St. Lucia would be the same place like when you were there before. But no, it has changed. And another thing is, I would not change my... I mean, we did how many years? 40-something years, almost 50 years in the United Kingdom. I cannot change that because I was about 20 years. So how can I change that? You understand? How can I change who I am now? I can't. Because I know it is St. Lucia. I am there with the people. But I cannot change because I've spent more time in the United Kingdom to discipline you, to da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, name it. It is there. And the law is there.
When I left here, as a young girl, age 16 and a half, I always said I will only spend 5 years.
That's what we say. We all say that.
5 years and come back to St. Lucia. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, when you get there, there are other things happening. You have children, you know, and you get accustomed to the living.
But it is true.
Which is at the time better than you being back to your country. Mm-hmm. So I think that encouraged you to forget for a while. Never forget your country, but at the same time to concentrate more where things are better.
Yes.
Because at that time it was better for me to be, when I get used to the place, mm-hmm. because somehow, although people were still so prejudiced, when you were accustomed among people you know, life was different. Mm-hmm. So it encouraged you to stay in London longer.
That's what I'm saying.
And to help your family mm-hmm. you know, back home.
Yeah.
So let's touch a bit about music, because the show also touches on music. What was the kind of music that was played during those times, whether it's when you were leaving St. Lucia on the boat, coming to England?
Leaving on a black train. Don't know when I'll be back again.
And then we started, the people who came to see the boat.
I can remember that.
In the boat.
No.
They are crying on the thing, you know. Because once you hear that tune, everything falls down.
It was
down.
Very sad. Very
when
sad.
I took the plane myself, the British Airways, small plane in those days, and I'm sitting where the window is, and I saw my grandmother with my two other children. I said, when you hear the tune, when and if you will ever see them again, I thought, I wanted to stop the plane.
They used to play on the boat, let's twist again. This type of music,
yes.
and a lot of reggae.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me, tell me that you'll wait for me, hold me like you'll never let me go. To go. There's so many times I've let you down, so many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me, tell me that you'll wait for me, hold me like you'll never let me go.
Have you thought about what happened to the Empire Windrush? Well, in 1954, after a fire on board, it sank in the Mediterranean Sea. Four men were lost while bringing home 1,500 servicemen from the Far East. But its 1948 journey will never be forgotten. The ship and its passengers have a symbolic status as the start of the Windrush generation.
About the times I won't have to
say. Do you think it's important that the children of today know about the Windrush and all the other boats?
Why? No, because the thing is, if you did not travel with the Windrush, I mean, what could you say about who you would be? Who would you be? Because the improvement that we got from the Windrush, it was hard. It was harder than us because we went after the Windrush. It is the Windrush, yes. But the people that went the first time in 1949, they really got the blows.
Oh, babe, I hate to go.
Here's a living legend, Chubby Checker.
Come on, everybody, clap your hands. Oh, you're looking good. I'm gonna sing my song. It won't take long. We're gonna do the twist, and it goes like this. Come on, let's twist again. Like we did last summer. Yeah, let's twist again. Like we did last year. Twist again.
while we focus on the 75th anniversary of the Empire Windrush's journey to Britain, what happened to those who were left behind? Barrel Child by Pamela K. Marshall provides a fictional account of the struggles families go through when mothers are forced to emigrate in search of economic opportunities so they can provide a better life for their children. Many books tell stories of abandonment, and anger screams loudly and still lives on. Another author, Tony Fairweather, heard many stories of abandonment and anger while he was researching for his book, £28, 10 Shillings, A Windrush Story. While you were researching and doing readings of your book, £28, 10 Shillings, A Windrush Story, did you hear any stories about the people who were left behind?
Yes, I did. There were very sad stories of children who were left behind and when they were 5, 6, 7 years old and maybe 10 years later were sent for. And when they got to England, they didn't connect with the family, the new family they found when they arrived in England.
Now, you talk about they didn't connect, but in your book, I recall the word abandonment.
Yes, that word was used a lot when I spoke to what we some people term as barrel children. They felt abandoned. The word barrel children comes from the fact that barrels were sent home to the children that were left behind with clothes and food and money to keep them going until their parents saved up enough money to send for them. They did feel I spoke to some people who were in their 70s, and you can still see the hurt in their eye when they talked about it, about their mums are feeling abandoned, feeling left. They were left with their grandparents or relative who wasn't very nice to them. So there's a whole story or a branch of the story of the Windrush generation that needs to be looked at, and I feel there are some traumatized adults still left over from those days who never resolved how they felt and the way they felt their parents treated them.
But did they understand the reason why, even though they felt abandoned?
The message I seem to see from them is they're too young to understand. All they know is they had a mum and dad and they left them. So everything else didn't make sense. As one woman said to me, why would they leave me? I'm their daughter. Why would they leave me? She said, she kept saying to me, but everything I said back to her, she kept back saying to me, why would they leave me? And I didn't have an answer.
In a way, there's a good and bad in all of this because, yes, I can see the reasons why they would feel abandoned, but didn't it give them closer relationships with the people they lived with? Most of the time it was the grandmother or the extended family. Did that not give them cherished memories?
It did depend what sort of relationship they had. Some stories I heard, they were quite brutalized by the parents, the grandparents, who didn't particularly want them there. Some of the parents gave them to another relative, an auntie or uncle, who used them as like domestic slaves almost, to fetch and carry water and do things around the house. So there's very few stories I've heard of people who were left and they were nice. There's always an undercurrent to all the stories I've heard of people being left behind in some way or fashion. There is an undercurrent there.
Through all the people you've spoken to, have you heard any secondhand stories of perhaps people saying, well, I didn't go on the Windrush, but this is what I heard, or I didn't go on the Windrush and I really feel that I missed out, or I didn't go on the Windrush and I didn't miss anything. I'm glad that I stayed.
Yes, I'm talking to you now from Jamaica, and I'm staying with some friends, my relatives, and they were telling me about their parents who were going to go on the Windrush, and they bought the ticket and they decided not it wasn't for them, and they gave back. They went back and got their money back. So not everybody wanted to go. Everybody had their different views of why. And they're glad they stayed behind because they made life for themselves in Jamaica and have done very well. Who knows what would have happened to them if they went to London. It was, remember, the time this all happened. It was after the war when Jamaica was on its knees and England was on its knees. There had been no trade with Jamaica during the course of the war. So jobs were scarce, minerals were scarce, money was scarce. So when you get an invitation from the King of England to come to London and you'll make more money in 1 month than you would in 1 year in Jamaica, you're going to jump on that boat.
You've been on tour with your book. What's been the outcome?
It's been really interesting. I've gained more stories about the Windrush. People are willing to share their stories with me, or their mother's story, their great-grandmother's story. And it's been, especially coming to Jamaica, it's been seeing the other side of the coin and meeting some of those people you talked about who were left here. So I've met two people who were left here. And hearing their side of the story. The Jamaicans are slowly getting around to the Windrush and seeing it for what it is, as part of their history, and realizing that the Windrush generations put money into the economy by sending money back in those blue airmail letters. They bought land and built properties built off the back of the money earned in London. And this was echoed in other places like Trinidad and Bermuda and Mexico, all the ports where the ships docked at. Money was sent back to all these places and it helped to build the economy. So it's been an educational being in Jamaica, especially going to the Kingston Harbour and seeing where the ship left and talking to one or two elders who were children at the time. It's been a real education, and I hope I can take some of that knowledge back to me to London and spread that to our community.
So much reminiscing has led me to a song I heard at all parties in the 70s. Do you remember this classic? As I go, here's a favourite that still pulls crowds on the dance floors. Millie Small and My Boy Lollipop. Thank you for joining me this Windrush special. Keep celebrating. I'm Delia Delore. Goodbye.
colorful,
celebrating colorful, Windrush Day.
Colorful radio.
Colorful radio. Colorful. Celebrating Windrush Day.
Colorful radio.